Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, there's an all-star game in your neighborhood.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No way in hell am I going to that game tonight? I'd have to leave 5 minutes ago.
Yep. You too. Swing and a high fly ball drilled. Forget it. Giancarlo Stanton deep into the pavilion in left center field.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Bucks linebacker Shaq Barrett. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Coming up, Steelers running back Najee Harris. Jets wide receiver Braxton Berrios. And now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Ian Rappaport last hour about the contract scenarios involving Deebo Samuel and also Kyler Murray, and when the Deshaun Watson ruling may come down on his suspension, and what is going on with Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. You missed any of that, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hour number one, Shaquille Barrett joined us from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he called in the middle of a pedicure he's having with his wife.
Good for him.
Okay. Now, the proper segue or improper segue would be, speaking of feet, let's talk about the Jets. Najee Harris is going to be joining us shortly with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He could have the first carry in the history of Acrisure Stadium.
Big moment.
That's a big moment.
First touchdown in Acrisure.
He could score the first touchdown in Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, PA. But as you know, I'm a Jet guy. You know that, right? The New York Jet guy. And I said, I saw Sauce Gardner at the combine. I'm like, that's the guy I want. And then they get that guy, and they get Garrett Wilson and Jermaine Johnson and Breece Hall as well.
What a draft.
Get out of here.
No excuses now.
Stop it. No excuses. You're still a young team. They're still. I love the coach. I love the general manager. I love the team. And then I love the heart of this gentleman, despite the awful rating the Madden folks gave his strength. How dare they do this to an all-pro individual? Joining us from the New York Jets, we're looking at his Instagram on the screen right here. That doesn't look like a man who's got a problem with strength at all. Jeez. Joining us here from the New York Jets, an all-pro and pro bowler, Braxton Berrios, joining us here on the program. How you doing, Braxton?
Wow, what an intro.
What do you think?
How are you guys doing?
What do you think of that intro?
It was solid. I don't know what to say for the rest of the show now.
I think
you set me up well.
I think you give that intro a 99 for strength, wouldn't you?
I would give it a 99 in all categories.
Okay. What's up with that rating, Braxton? What the hell was that all about? 53 in strength.
I couldn't tell you. It's comical, obviously. I don't truly care, but every year it's kind of a running thing in my family. Because I have little brothers,
okay.
7, 10, and 12.
Okay.
So they call when it comes out, and they just don't understand it. And neither do I. I mean, everything's relative, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I get it. You know, like, we have absolute, 6'4", 280-pound free feature in the NFL. But, unless they're squatting 1,000 pounds, relatively, it should be above a 53 is all I'm saying. That's it. I don't need a 75. I get that. I'm very, very honest about who I am and what I am.
Yes.
But 50, that's just disrespectful.
Braxton wants some respect on his name, right?
Yes, we should put it on that name.
Just a shed.
Oh, I think you lost him right there. You want to put him back on hold right there? I just lost him right there. Let's see what we can do here.
Braxton's like, respect me. Put some respect on my name.
Respect. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
you put that Instagram feed up one more time there, will you please?
First of all, look at this dude.
Honestly.
Man. Like, he makes me feel bad about some of the choices I made in life. Like, all the pizza that I ate.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's
I look like that occasionally.
Is he back on? Do we got him right
there?
He's back. You there, Braxton? You there?
He said he's good.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
We had problems.
Yeah, we had problems. Yeah. We had problems. We had 99 problems. Okay.
Yeah, but Madden, they didn't like it.
Dan, what do you eat, man? It looks like you're. Jesus. I mean, you're locked in, Braxton.
Abs have abs.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah, what the hell? What's that system? What is that?
It varies from time to time, but off season is a little bit more strict than in season. In season, I think you kind of eat, whatever and whenever, because you're constantly broken down trying to build it back up. But off season, you have that time to plan to get something together, and it's a little bit consistency, and you keep working, and it happens, I guess.
I guess so, man. Braxton Berrios here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Jets. All right, man. I'm not gonna lie. I'm very excited. By the way, I don't know if you're aware, I'm a Jet fan. I don't know if you're aware of that, Braxton Berrios.
I heard.
I'm from Staten Island, New York. I mean, I was there. I went to Shea Stadium when Richard Todd was a quarterback, Freeman McNeil, and, Altoona.
Way back.
Wesley Walker. I mean, I could bend your ear, man. And I've been there and I've done that. 2 years into my SportsCenter career back in 97, 98, I went to the AFC Championship game. I sat two rows from the top of the stadium in my Wesley Walker jersey. I'm real. I'm real. That's all I'm just saying is I'm real. I'm spectacular. And I'm freaking out because it doesn't compute that things seem to be going in the right direction. Walk me through this. What's the feeling in the building right now for this team? Braxton Berrios.
We have the same sentiment.
Love it.
Truly. I hate hype, and I also hate talk. So I'm not going to sit here and do those two things. But what we have is we've grown a lot from being an extremely young team last year. Got a lot of experience, obviously, across the board, and then having all those young guys grow up a year, and then we added some very key pieces this offseason between the draft and free agency. So, we fully understand that we have everything that we truly need. And, now it's just about going and, executing, consistently within the system.
And so what was it like on draft night for you watching those guys come in on that first round and then Breece Hall the next day? What was that like for you?
Oh, it was awesome. I was actually in Vegas doing a few things. So, I actually was in the green room, but another right there at the draft, and watching all these things happen, and then obviously we had 4 and 10, and then we traded up and had a third first round draft pick, and we obviously did the sentiment around the building, and obviously within the team as well is we crushed it. They did upstairs, did an incredible job, and like I said, they gave us all the all the tools and all the pieces we need. And, we just hope to keep that momentum going as we enter camp here and, make it into tangible wins, instead of good things that happened in the offseason.
Well, the drill. It's a quarterback-driven league. How does a QB look different to you in any way, shape, or form, Braxton Berrios? What's going on there? What do you got for me?
Obviously he had a full year of experience. I mean, I can't imagine getting thrown into the fire like he did my rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
He handled it incredibly well. I mean, throughout the season, being with him every single day. And, obviously he had a little injury there midway through the year. And then when he came back on that back half, he seemed to be a lot more comfortable and had settled in a little bit. And so all that from that TAs, and, he does.
He looks, you got to pop him back on
and
again,
he did.
Chris.
He looks completely different. And we know he can, and we'll take care of the rest.
All right, you're cutting in and out of me again, Braxton. It's kind of like the way you return kicks. I mean, I just need to just. I don't know if you're in a bad spot with your phone, but it's all good. Best we can here on the Rich Eisen Show. Can you hear me, Braxton? You there?
I can.
I gotta pop him back off of there and get Chris. There we go. I'm enjoying the chat. I'd like to know more. I don't know what's going on, but all right. So just see if we can get it done one more time here or whatever. Hey, everybody, it got a bad reception. Oh my gosh.
This is your favorite interview of the day.
I know. I was looking forward to this one more than most. No, but all right. We could just, if it's no good, Chris, we could just do it another time. Oh, got it. Okay. All right. So 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take one more here. Let's take a phone call here while we're waiting to see if Braxton's going to be working out on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Wynn in Durham, North Carolina. What's up, Wynn?
Good morning, Rich and gentlemen. You know, the All-Star game is the time to kind of, you know, review the state of baseball this season and where we are. So there's a narrative that's out there, that's still out there, that offense in baseball, particularly like the Yankees and Dodgers and so forth, is about three things.
Yeah.
Hit a home run, strike out, or walk. And that is a false narrative. And that's still being put out there by the likes of the guy that's on before you on this network, Peacock. So, you know, the Yankees are where they are today. I listen to the Yankees or watch them almost every game this season. They play small ball. They hit and run. They bunt. They steal. Giancarlo Stanton, you know, the great home run hitter, he hits in the gap when necessary. You know, they're where they are because they've abandoned this, you know, accounting-based logic of hit a home run, strike out, or walk. And I'm tired of the false narrative continuing. Well, and I hope baseball is the greatest game in the world. It is a hallowed game. It is just so much better for kids and adults.
Well, I'm with you too, Wynn.
I'm with you too, Wynn.
Thanks for the call. I mean, I do love the sport. I just got to push back in terms of, you know, a false narrative. Yeah, Joey Gallo walks around. Human strikeout or a human home run. I mean, that's the Yankees have like a third of the team like that.
180.
All right, are you Braxton Barris? Are you there, Braxton? You there?
We're going to try one more time.
Oh, it sounds like you're sitting next to me. Tremendous. It really does sound like you're sitting
next to
me. All right, so you were going to walk me through again, because I asked you how Zach Wilson looks different to you in any way, shape, or form, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when I lost you, but, you know, the growth from year one to year two is very, very apparent. You know, last year after getting drafted, you come into OTAs and, you know, you just got drafted. You have a whole new system, brand new teammates, new city. And, you know, obviously it can be a little overwhelming. And then you look fast forward to this year, this OTAs, and, you know, it's a different world for him. You know, everything slowed down. He had a whole year under his belt. He got to, you know, recollect and calibrate. And, you know, he's going into a season where he knows the offense. He knows the coaching staff. He knows most of his personnel, you know, through and through. And that just it does a lot for him.
Well, I mean, it's just here we go. I mean, I didn't see this photograph where you have a Zach Wilson is good shirt and he's got a Braxton Berrios is good shirt. I like it. My only suggestion for you is I think yours is just a little bit too large. You should get it nice and tighter. Those biceps show a little bit better if you got a little tighter shirt.
Maybe that would make the difference. You know what? We got an idea.
I'm just saying. Now. But I'm just sitting here thinking, you got Corey Davis, you've got Elijah Moore, you add to this mix, and then you add to this mix Garrett Wilson, and I know I'm leaving out others in your wide receiver room, so I apologize for that. You add a couple new tight ends. You got Breece Hall, you got Michael Carter, you've got the rest of that running back room. It's good, man. It's this. You can go to battle. You can win games with this mix of people.
There's no doubt about it.
You can be physical. You could be quick. You could do a lot. And again, it's just really, it's a quarterback driven league, you know. And if the kid can get protected, it gets me all really fired up. I'm wondering what you could say it all looks like when you're putting it all together for the first time here. For the Jets.
No, exactly, and that's what we have to do. We have to figure out what our, you know, best combinations are, and you know, be ready to go to war with those. And you know, Zach needs to do, you know, everything under his power, you know, from just a game management standpoint. And you know, we have to do the rest. You know, I understand why you say it's a quarterback driven league, but you know, we don't need him to be, you know, supernatural every game to win. You know, we all have to carry our weight too. And it really does fall on all of us. And like I said, you know, our top to bottom has given us, you know, every piece we need to go into battle and you know, have everything we need to win those games. And now, we just, as a team, we have to go put it together.
I know you can't control it. The schedule frightens me. I'm not going to lie, man. That first half of the schedule, it's stupid. I mean, first of all, it's like you joined the AFC North to start. Like, you literally are the fifth AFC North yeah. team. You play the that entire division to start. Then you get yourself a taste of Miami. That's your first shot at the division. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, the Patriots, the Bills, and a bye. And I'm that concerns me. I'm wondering what you think, Braxton Berrios.
No, I mean, the NFL, you know, before you win games, you have to keep from losing them. And, you know, I think every game is a different story. So, you know, each game is a fresh start. You see, I mean, records don't really, you know, there's not many people running the table going undefeated in the regular season for a reason. It's because, you know, the NFL is game by game, anything can happen. And it really doesn't bother me one bit. I honestly, besides the first four, I couldn't tell you the rest of our schedule. That was the first time that I really heard it, you know, verbally, other than seeing it the first day. That's just, it's not in our concern. We have to, you know, we have a lot to do before we get to worrying about the other teams right now. And I think that's where the focus is heading into camp here.
Before I let you go, you got a good Sauce Gardner story for me so far? Anything in the first couple of weeks?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will. There's no doubt I will have stories about all these rookies here in the next couple months.
Why? They're going to be carrying your bags? Is that what it is or what? Like, what are you talking about?
No.
What does that mean?
Just because, you know, OTAs, they come in midway kind of.
And, right.
You know, they're fresh, and so you give them a little breathing room. But now camp's a little different. You know, you're with them, you know, 7 days a week, almost about 16 hours a day or so. NFLPA will call me after that one.
Look out. Look out. We don't need that.
I will.
So we talking playoffs or what? Come on now, Braxton.
We have a lot to do, like I just said. Mm-hmm. We have all the tools to be able to do that, absolutely. And that's – I mean, that is, if we don't get there, obviously it's a failed season to everybody in the building, especially us players. You know, this isn't a league or a sport where you can, you know, take rebuilding years and people are okay with that in the building. It's just not, you know, the shelf life of every single one of us is not as long as probably most other sports, if not all other, you know, the major professional sports. So, you know, we're absolutely looking to go to the playoffs. That's the hope. That's the goal. And we're going to do everything in our power to make it happen.
I love it. All right. Look for my number, calling you more often. Not just because I enjoyed this conversation and I'm excited for the season, but I definitely need the BB10 system. I need it. Mm-hmm. I could use it. You know, I don't know what the Madden people are thinking. I think they've lost their minds. But whatever the BB10 system is, I'm on it. B squared 10, whatever you want to call
that.
It. You know, I'm on it. I'm in. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thanks. That's Braxton Berrios, everybody. Should have been outside the whole time. Sounds like he was sitting next to me.
That's great. Yeah. Great reception. Glad we worked that out.
Oh, no, Chris, normally the rookies got to go get the vets like donuts and stuff.
Yeah.
But Braxton, exactly. Were they getting him chicken breast in the morning? He ain't eating donuts.
Braxton's never had a donut in his entire life.
Quinoa?
Yeah.
So it is?
A lot of quinoa, a lot of avocado.
Hey, Garrett, go bring me back some quinoa.
A lot of kale.
Hey, Garrett, you know where the Florham Park Erewhon is?
Some good restaurants. There's a great Italian restaurant in Florham Park.
Braxton Berrios definitely has $19 smoothies from Erewhon.
That's Brockman's spot, man. I'm telling you.
Are you serious?
He loves Erewhon.
Absolutely.
I was about to say, wait a minute. What?
Who likes to shop at Erewhon?
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
It's a great Italian restaurant.
Let's take a break. I think our next guest is calling in right now.
Oh.
Najee Harris.
On time.
Oh, yes. I'm not sure he's next. Acrisure.
Here we go, Steelers.
Wow.
We only touch upon the burning questions here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I've literally been thinking about this for 48 hours, and I need to know the answer to this question. What is happening? What has happened to the ketchup bottles they took down from Heinz Field? Where is this monster-sized ketchup bottle going to wind up? I hope
They do not destroy it. This should be in some museum.
They could put it at the airport next to Franco.
Next to Franco. George Washington.
Exactly.
And that ketchup bottle.
That's right.
Yes. Just right down the hall from the Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
That's exactly shrine.
Good job, Brockman. It's a perfect spot for it. Well, it fit.
It won't fit in the airport.
It will not, because that's a large ketchup bottle. That is a monster size.
No, they can put that there. There's room.
Next to Franco,
I mean, this is a ketchup bottle that's been in, you know, may it rest in peace, Heinz Field for a long time. I mean, that ketchup bottle has seen a lot of Steeler memories.
Yeah.
Okay? That just as a fresh reminder to Steeler fans, you still have those. Those are yours to keep. No one can ever take that away from you. No one from Acrisure or their actuarial department or whatever the hell they do. Honestly, I still look at the company's own description of what they do. I still don't know what they do.
Know what that means.
You know what they do?
They take
ketchup bottles down. That's what they do. But where's that going? Does Heinz have its? Is there like a?
Oh, the Heinz probably.
Is there a Heinz museum?
I don't know. Is there a spot? Is there a spot like a cafeteria on the Heinz campus? Building?
Actually,
like,
where
do they put that bottle?
They do have dinosaur underneath Franco. So maybe. But how would they get
that's
it
true.
In there?
There's a T-Rex dinosaur
T-Rex
at Pittsburgh Airport.
In the airport.
Also,
they got it. They
there's
totally
room.
Fit that.
There's room for the bottles.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to make a T-Rex extinct? Come on, give the dinosaur a break.
It's been 100 million
years. You're going to remove the dinosaur? You're going to remove the dinosaur?
No, there's room next to it. Put it next. I'm saying there's room.
I'm saying, yeah, when I said there's no room next to Franco, there's not. But down the escalator.
Put it in the hand, the little hand.
T-Rex hand.
The T-Rex hand.
I'm willing to bet those things are...
Just take one of the T-Rex hands and put it on top of the bottle.
That T-Rex hand couldn't hold that bottle.
Average height of a T-Rex.
38.
It's got to be the same size as that ketchup bottle.
No,
look at that thing.
No,
that's a T-Rex sized bottle.
T-Rexes are only 12 feet high.
No,
jeez.
No
really?
Way.
How sway? There ain't no way.
How? 40 feet long with the tail.
Oh, yeah. It's
12 feet high.
Oh.
See those little hands?
So then that ketchup bottle's got to be 20 feet tall.
So you're saying that the T-Rex is the Kenny Pickett of dinosaurs?
Just
is that what you're saying?
Wow. What happened to the bottle? That's only one.
Wow.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network.
Najee Harris doesn't know what's happening. Right
joining
now.
Us right now on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, is the man who totes the rock and catches the rock. He is the guy. I told you last year the Steelers should draft him because he is a total, total throwback to what this team's all about and needing an identity on offense. And certainly now with Big Ben moving on. This is the identity maker on offense. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from the Pittsburgh Steelers is Najee Harris. How you doing, Najee?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Do you know what's happened to the ketchup bottles that have been taken down at Heinz Field? Let's just jump right into it. Do you know what's happened to ketchup bottles? Do you know anything about that at all?
No, actually, I just saw a video about it yesterday, though. But, I mean, I didn't surprise, man. I played there once. You know, this I played there my last year.
Yep.
This past year, I mean, you know, it was my first year there, so, you know, to see that Heinz ketchup bottle, it was dope, you know, but now that you took it off, it's just a new beginning, that's all it is.
It is, you know, people are freaking out in Pittsburgh about this name change, right? You know that, right? People are freaking
out. Yeah, it's a big deal right now, but, you know, at the end of the day, money talks, I guess, right? So.
How about this, you, Najee Harris, have enough responsibility already on your shoulders, I get it, but you are the one who's going to take it upon yourself to create new memories and start new memories in Acrisure Stadium. What do you think about that? How about that?
Exactly, you know, that's what, and that's what I like, you know, like I said, it's new beginnings, you know, we're building our identity this year. You know, we're trying to you know, start over. We got a new quarterback. So, you know, it's a lot of changes going around. A lot of guys retired last year that we didn't expect. So I think this is, you know, just an all out, just a new beginning of, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and what we're about this year. So, you know, for me to be a part of it is always a good thing and to create some good memories. That field at the Acrisure. I don't even know how to say the name, but at the Acrisure field, whatever you say.
I think you nailed it. I think it is. I'm not sure. I'm Acrisure. How does that sound?
Yeah, I was calling it Acme at first. But, you know.
Going to put a statue of Wile E. Coyote up.
Exactly.
Acme Stadium. Oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? Exactly. The memories that were there are still there. It's still the same building. It's just a different name. And now you could just create. Yeah, maybe you're going to be the first carry, first score in the history of Acrisure Stadium. I think that might be it.
That'll be dope because, you know, I was the last person to score a touchdown at Hines. It'll be dope to be the first. Yeah, it'll be dope to be the first person to score at Acrisure, you know. But you know, we'll see about all that.
I think. Well, I mean, the odds are you're going to get some touches. What is? So you mentioned I've got Najee Harris here in the Rich Hudson. You mentioned new quarterback. Do you have any sense who that quarterback may be, Najee Harris?
You know, I'm just a player. I'm not the coach. You know, I don't know anything about that. I'm trying to, you know, learn the offense still, learn different positions, learn more of the ins and outs offense. I think we can leave that up to Coach Canada and Mike Tiefel and all that stuff. But I can tell you what, though, you know, all the guys that we have there, you know, they all look good. Trubisky, Mason, and, of course, Kenny, all of them look good. You know, they're all battling it out. They're all taking charge. You know, they're all embracing of what it is. You know, the competition, I think that's what brings the best out of all of us in this sport is the competition. So for them to bring in these guys in, you know, and to compete it out and battle it out and know that, you know, your job isn't secured yet, I think that brings the best out of us. And, you know, when this camp starts up on the 26th, I think, you know, we're going to have a good identity of who's going to be the guy. But as of now, you know, we just had OTAs, rookie mini camp. It's kind of hard to say who's the guy right now, but, you know, this upcoming week, we're going to see for sure.
Well, I mean, that's the way things will shake out with a competition, and it's going to be intense. And Tomlin would not want it any other way, obviously. How are you different, though, walking into this training camp, your second year now? How are you different, Najee Harris?
Yeah, man, you know, a lot was placed on me last year, and I like that. You know, like I said, you know, like competition brings out the best of us. So a lot was placed on me last year off the fact that, you know, we all knew this was Ben's last year. So, you know, Ben told me a lot of times, came in my room a lot, you know, told me like, you know, Najee, a lot's going to rely on you this year. You know, like, I'm about to lean on you a lot. So, you know, I took that, put my head up, and I was like, all right, man, I'm going to do as much as I can for this team. I did the best I can. We made it to the playoffs, so, you know, that's always good. But, you know, it ended the way we want to. But this year, you know, I learned a lot from last year. We had a lot of rookies playing last year. We had a lot of young guys on offense. We still do got a lot of young guys. But, you know, the experience that we had last year and we bring it on from this year, you know, the games that we're in, you know, the difference between college and NFL, the speed, you know, learning the X's and O's, learning the differences of, you know, the alignments and, you know, what the defense is seeing and certain type of things. You know, I think that all carries on to this year to find out, you know, what's our identity? Like, you know, for Najee, what does Najee have to be for this team? You know, I'm trying to be everything I can for it to be a problem for the opposing team's defense. So, you know, they could look at me a lot and, you know, maybe pack the box up and we could get a lot of one-on-ones with Chase, Deontay, Pat, and all the other guys, you know, with Dan and KG and Chooks, you know, all the guys, Dot, you know, they got more experience carrying on this year. So, you know, Dan, I don't think he gets enough recognition of what he did at left tackle going against all the guys, I mean, in our league, you know, all the edge rushers we had last year, he stood his own. So, you know, I always tip my hat off to him. But even carrying on in this year, I think he's going to have a lot of he's going to do a lot better than what was last year. You know, me just learning the ins and outs of the protections, the routes, the runs, you know, I mean, me being a more vocal leader, I think that I was going to carry on this year.
381 touches last year. Are you going to get 400 this year? What do you think? Total.
I'll get 500. And listen, I didn't have an issue with it. You know what I mean? It was the media who had the issue with it. I told them every game, I was like, man, look, if this is the way to winning, I can carry the load. You know, I train to carry loads. You know what I mean? It's not something that I haven't done before. I did in college, high school, you know what I mean, NFL. So for me to get that much carries, I was like, man, like, is we winning games? You know what I mean? It was a long streak where, you know, it was someone saying, like, if I have 25 carries, then, you know, we're undefeated. You know what I mean? So, okay, this is our identity right here. So let's keep this going on. Let's keep this going. So, man, listen, if I get 500 carries, as long as we win, it doesn't really matter.
Is that an Alabama thing? Is that what it is? Is that what that is?
I think that's a Najee thing.
Okay. Just saying. I mean, you know, obviously Derrick Henry's a guy that keeps on hitting people over and over and over again. It doesn't matter. Get stronger. I just didn't know. But I didn't mean to.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, so some running backs, you know, the more carries you get, the better you are. You know, I mean, you get a more feel for the game.
Yeah.
You get a understanding of how defense are playing. So, you know, and obviously they, you wear them down. So, you know, I guess it's just a dog mentality, right? You got to be a dog to do that.
Najee Harris here on the Rich Eisen Show. Any similarities between Saban and Tomlin in your estimation?
No.
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 That was a quick no.
Hey, look, nothing. I'll tell you right now. No. No.
Well, I mean,
I'll tell you what. Saban's a more like, you know, Saban's a strictly business. No matter what, man, he's going to strictly business. And it's cool. You know, that's just the way of coaching. He wins. Find a way to win. He does that. Mike T is you know, he gets to know you more. He's like more of a, let's say, a people's person. You know, he would come in the locker room, crack jokes. You know, he would go on live and do some stuff. You know what I mean? And then he finds a way of winning, too. That's the only similarities they have. They like what they have, a knack of winning. But how they win it and their, you know, formula, and you know, it's completely different. But they do know how to win, I'll tell you that much.
So are you saying Saban never made a D's nuts joke to you? Not once, Najee?
I mean, he said some weak-ass joke like that. But, you know, I didn't find it that funny. You know, I mean, of course, his old ass. You know, he said something like, you know, oh, Najee Harris sucked these. I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And I mean, I was like, whatever, dog. But, you know, Saban, obviously, he do be saying some good jokes, but he just so damn old. No disrespect to him. Like, he be saying, like, oh, you're softer than the baby's ass. I'd be like, bro, what is that? Like, I don't even know what the hell that means. But, hey, cool, it's whatever, though. You know what I mean? Like, cool, you know? But Saban has his moments. He has his moments. I'll tell you that. I'll say that. But
okay.
Saban has his moments. He's a funny-ass dude.
You got a good Tomlin joke that you can share? That
it's too many jokes that Tomlin be saying. Tomlin's actually funny. You know what I mean? I guess he's more hip. You know, there's a big age difference, I'll say.
Sure,
so,
of course.
So he knows. He's a little bit more newer school with the jokes. It's not some old stuff that saved me then.
Well, I mean, Tomlin's response to the whole USC thing last year, if he was interested in it, that's Mike Del Tufo is one of our favorite drops right here when somebody asked him if there was any chance of him being the head coach of the USC Trojans.
Never say never, but never.
I mean, that's hilarious. I mean, that's next level right there.
Hey, to be honest with you, I think that was one time when he was really serious.
That's true, too. Yes.
I don't think that was a joke. I think he was dead ass serious. And he was actually kind of mad, too.
Yeah, oh, yes.
But, hey, it's, you know, it's whatever.
He is. Najee Harris here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, before I let you go, I don't know what might be bigger, that ketchup bottle that was taken down or the sombrero you were rocking during draft week. That seemed like a whole blast for you down in Mexico. Najee?
Yeah, man, that was hella fun, man. I had a good time in Mexico. Just their culture.
Look at that,
man! I wanted to do more. I wanted to wrestle because they had a wrestling thing going on. And it was like, I swear to God, I want to go off the ropes and, like, you know what I mean, do like a DDT or a 619, some stuff like that, like a do that Randy Orton thing.
RKO.
But, RKO. Damn,
yeah, RKO. There it is. But I had hella security with me, so I was like, no. No, you don't want to go down there.
No, like, Najee Libre? None of that stuff?
Hey, that was in clean, huh? A Najee Libre off the ropes, I jump off somebody's back, do a backflip in the air, and then land on my... What?
Stephanie McMahon, hit up Najee Harris. Yeah. Get this man in WrestleMania.
Let's
next
do
show.
It. That would be fun. Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay, Najee. Look, it was great chatting with you. Let's do this more often if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, man. Always, man. I like you guys' show anyway.
Appreciate that. Awesome. What's your Madden rating? Is there a Madden rating situation with you? Something going on with that?
I ain't going to lie, my guy. You know what? That stuff just came out today, and I got tagged in it. I ain't want to discuss it off the fact that I'm actually kind of disappointed.
So you don't even want to talk about it? Because it sounds like you do.
I don't want to talk about it.
It sounds like you do. Because
just talking about it just makes people want to, let's say, oh, what is this rating? I think I'm like, oh, man. So, all right, listen, just play the game, kids. Play the game. That's all I got.
I mean, I'm looking at his rating right now, Rich. I don't know if Najee wants to say it.
Oh,
yeah, no, it's okay. Hey, you know what's crazy, though? And, you know, they didn't even put me in a top 10 for breaking tackles. And I was like, wait, okay, hold on now, okay, let's get something straight here. I broke a lot of tackles. That's the one thing I know I did. All right. So for me, for them not even putting me in the top 10, I was like, oh, man. Well, it is what it is. Just, like I said, just play the game, kids.
That's it. Just play the game, kids. 2022 is going to be lit. And it seems like you got a lot of reasons to do it because you got to prove them wrong. You got to prove them everyone, you know, what the Steelers can do. And you've got to plant the flag in Acrisure Stadium on behalf of all Steeler fans. How does that sound, Najee Harris? How does that sound?
That sounds good, man.
Okay. Thanks.
We gotta do a lot.
Thanks for the time. Let's do this more often. Right, I really enjoyed it. Thanks again. You be well.
Yes, sir. You guys be safe.
You got it. Right back at you. There's Najee Harris.
So,
God, how great is he?
I'm a Najee Harris fan, man, all right?
Why wouldn't you be?
How could you not be?
Najee Harris, an 85 overall.
85?
I'm looking at 83.
Right between Cordarrelle Patterson and David Montgomery.
What?
Yeah.
See, I'm looking at him and he's an 83 between Montgomery and Carson.
You got overall or is that specific?
I was looking at overall.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say this. Who's the guy? Who was the one guy I said that we had to come out of our fantasy draft?
Oh, last Raheem year. Mostert. Yeah, last year.
It wasn't Raheem Mostert. It was him. And you did.
We got him. Oh, we got him. We had a good team last year.
That's the one guy. I'm like, you've got to leave the draft with the rookie. 307 carries. I know Andre said how many touches you're going to get. He said 500 carries.
I hope he doesn't get 500 carries.
Yeah, no, he's not going to get. No.
His future career.
But yeah.
I want him around for a minute. So
yeah.
You know, 119 more and he'd had 500 touches.
I broke a lot of GD tackles.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you say? Saban's were weak ass.
Saban's a weak ass.
He also called him
weak.
He's an old man. He's talking about baby's bottoms.
He was working a little blue. I liked it.
He might be a new top 10 guest.
Nick Saban is 70. I don't know if you think that's old. But
and that's even that old.
I know. Mike Tomlin's 50. Obviously a difference.
No.
Never say never, but never.
So you got the Ravens and Lamar, and you got the defending AFC champs, and Joey, right? You got whatever the Browns are going to do. You know, and you're starting to see rumors that maybe Jimmy G shows up in Cleveland. Like, that might be a situation where he goes there and he's part of the mix if Jacoby Brissett doesn't perform well or he's there to back up.
I wouldn't do that Brissett. If I was Jimmy.
You may have no choice.
I wouldn't do
but
that.
You got that whole scenario. Everybody focused on those three teams. And nobody talks about the Steelers. Nobody. Now that, I was giving Derek Carr crap earlier in the show saying nobody's talking about us. And that's all I've been doing for the last 2 months. And nothing upsets me more than not being listened to in my household. That would normally get your iPad taken away from you. But truly, I mean, who's out there saying Steelers have a shot? Who's out there saying Steelers have a shot? I've never heard anybody say that.
No. I mean, it's not, we're not slagging on anything. It's just the reality of the situation.
They've never had a losing record under their current head coach. Mm-hmm. Never. So let's just start at 9-8, right? Let's just start at 9-8.
That's an interesting way to look at it, yeah.
And see how many more games they can win off of that. And it's a quarterback-driven league. The question is, who's the quarterback going to be?
No, I'm not starting at 9-8.
I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move
you
forward.
You have to. What do you think? Are they going to finally have a losing record under Mike Tomlin?
You don't have to. I mean, everyone's 0-0.
I understand that, but you're going to assume
starting a guy that pretty famously flamed out of one spot and then was a backup.
Trubisky.
Or they're starting a rookie. So, you know, the odds are not in their favor.
Unless the rookie is good, which happens and actually happened the last time they drafted a rookie in the first round.
20 years ago.
Right? I know.
I'm just.
Yours looks pretty damn good last year under the system that was strong otherwise. Yes? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came after a year where the quarterback wasn't so great. I don't know.
Bigger mystery.
Tougher division.
Bigger mystery. Steelers' success for the season or where their ketchup bottles went?
I'm really concerned about the ketchup
bottles. Where are the ketchup bottles?
Yeah.
The ketchup bottles are somewhere on the south side right now. Chilling.
Really concerned about
that. Where are the Heinz ketchup bottles that were taken down? Where were they taken to? I need answers. I want answers. And I can handle the truth. I can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the answer. Those answers you can't handle.
All right. We tackle the toughest issues.
Factual.
And we break tackles.
We break tackles.
We break a lot of GD tackles. How great was Najee Harris? Oh, my God, that was fantastic. Brex and Barris was fun when his phone wasn't crapping.
It was
out.
Great. And now George Kittle has responded about the middle seat.
Let's take a break. That's what we call a tease. Next on The Rich Eisen Show. When was the last time you did watch a football game with Peyton? Just you and him. When was the last time that happened, Eli?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier, just kind of, when's the last time, you know, it would have been like, you know, my brothers, Peyton, Coop, and my dad, you know, sitting at home watching a football game. I think it's got to be 30 years ago, at least. I can't think of a time where we would have been together. We've been at some Super Bowls together, you know, but Peyton was playing or I was playing.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, it goes back to probably when you know, Coop and Peyton were in high school at some point and I was 10 years old and watching, you know, watching a Saints game or watching a Sunday night game or something on the couch. And, you know, it's been a long time.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. Mm-hmm. There's not a better person and a guy who just who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and
come on.
You know, thought he was gonna be the starting receiver, and then Flexco, you know, comes back and plays that game, and then sure enough in the game David Tyree has a touchdown catch. And then makes the catch, you know, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob Papa giving the call saying, you know, he's got a wide open receiver, you know, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, you know, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. And you know, never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But
right.
I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees
play,
holding.
Which is fine.
Eli, what do you say to that when you, he says
holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. I'm just like, all right.
You know,
let them run in. You know, I almost get sat by all four players. You know, they kind of just blocked them off. You know, I think, you know, it's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, you know, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want to the pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the like grass, they can just grab them off though and pull them off. It's kind of it's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant play
right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. I love that. Holding, you didn't block anybody. I can hold you, you don't block anybody. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full archive, our show archive. Oh, baby. That was a fun interview right there with Najee Harris, right?
That was great.
And so this has kind of been like a running theme throughout today's show, thanks to George Kittle being in a seat 19D on a flight, saying that he was in the middle seat of an exit row and somebody next to him put two bags above. And what were thoughts on that? I thought to myself, if you're on and you got two bags and there's space, you're take it.
Bags go up.
You know, I was flying back from Rome the other day.
You went to Italy?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you know.
Did you have food?
Yeah.
Did you eat when you were
there? I got on first. First.
Well, 1A happens, yeah.
And that's not 1A. That was group one. I was group one with about a bunch of 30, 40 other people.
Yeah,
but we got on first, and I got to my overhead bin, and there was some huge monster bag in it. Like some
the golf bag. I mean, what do you call it? The hockey bags.
No. It was like a shopping bag filled with what looked like a pillow or something or some. Like, it was huge. It was like this big. It was this big. It took up the entire overhead bin space.
And I
was outraged. I got on first so I could use the bin space above my. Somebody used my bin space. I look around. Where's the human being? What the hell is this all about?
Oh, that's even worse.
The audacity.
So again. That person doesn't sit in the seat underneath the overhead bin and used it. Dog eat dog world, man.
No,
we got on a plane.
Beat you to the punch.
It is.
I'm moving
that. Beat you to the punch.
I'm fine with having etiquette, and I'll take only one bag and place it in my overhead bin, and that's the only space I will have, and I will not recline my seat, even though the button gives me the right to recline my seat because it might upset the large individual in the seat behind me. I will play by those rules until somebody doesn't, and then it breaks down. All the civility breaks down. If you want to sign a document to say all this stuff, I'm in. Otherwise, I'm putting as much as I could above my seat.
Get yours, man. Get yours.
That's it. I'm saying it with my chest.
Get yours.
So
you know, get everybody else.
So then George Kittle called me diabolical for that stance.
He did.
And so then because again, he said that he's in the middle seat of an exit row in 19D, which once again, before we hash this out, that's a 2-3, that's a 2 on one side and a 3 on the other.
You're not in like Delta comfort.
Right? Unless it's a 2-3.
Is it
a
2-3-2?
It could be a 2-3-2, and you're in the middle of the, you're in the middle seat of the middle. You're in between C and E.
Yeah, that's exactly when we flew to New York for the Emmys. That's how the
play. In between C and E, which is the way, unfortunately, my come out role always is in craps. When I'm on the CNE, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What am I talking about? I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right.
So then I hit up George. I was like, hey, George, do you recline? And if you're in the middle seat, what's the armrest move?
And did he respond in the reclining?
He did not respond in the reclining. He just wrote back, middle seat gets both armrests.
Yeah. We've all agree on that.
Some people do not. Some people do not.
That's a total.
Armrest
some people
again.
Take a first come first serve situation.
First come first serve.
No, you move it. I'm taking it.
Could you imagine? All I'm saying is, let's just say you have Chris Brockman seat C,
okay,
in a 3-seat row situation.
Okay.
D is the middle seat. You're in row C.
Two, three, two.
You sit there first.
Yep.
You stake your claim. Left elbow, right elbow. You got it. Because you also know you can't take the up. You got to get the back.
You got to get the back.
Right? Because that allows you to sit up and recline. Certainly when you recline.
No, then you're trying.
Right? Could you imagine the person who would try and battle you for that armrest to your right is George Kittle?
You let him have it.
Damn straight you do.
You lose that. You lose. You're done. You're done.
It's a respect.
That's a loss.
That's like the bull in the china shop.
You take the L right there.
You know what I mean? Could you imagine George Kittle is the guy sitting in the middle seat with the stance of, I get both armrests?
You're done.
You're finished.
You're done.
You got no shot. You might not even get the front. You might not even get the up.
You're going to happen.
Also need to find out why George is in 19D.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Speaking of which, you know what's going crazy right now on Twitter is Scott Boras telling USA Today that the latest slight that Juan Soto had is the Nationals flew him commercial, and Major League Baseball flew him commercial across the country for the home run derby.
Not National Baseball, his team, not the league.
After he declined the 440. Yeah.
They made him get his own, and he landed at 1:30 in the morning, and he still won the home run derby.
Something happened to the
A's.
And
he's like, did the Braves fly private? They flew their charters.
Houston. So the A's all-star was going to have to fly commercial, and then the Astros found out about it, and he hopped on their jet.
Yeah, they got room.
And Boras is like, that's the latest slight by my client, is they will not fly him private. Guess what? If I'm trying to pay you $440 million and you say no, I am buying you a commercial airline ticket
like
on the spot.
Back of the plane, 38D.
No, but come on. Juan Soto wasn't probably sitting in 19D.
No.
Bathroom.
He may have been because it was a last-minute booking, obviously.
Last-minute booking.
Anybody, you're flying soon again, right? Aren't you flying again soon?
I am flying.
You're flying again soon?
I am.
And right now, with airline travel, your flight could be canceled anytime, any minute.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Susie and I with our three kids, flying them east for summer camp. My birthday. That's how it got started.
Yeah.
I woke up on my birthday at 4 a.m. Susie's on a phone. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? She's like, our flight got canceled.
Oh.
So Kittle, you know, and when you're rebooked, you're not if you're lucky to be in the first cabin, you're not getting rebooked there. Everything's all tight. There's many reasons why. And George is also a man of the people. Or he wanted to terrorize those in seats 19C and E by saying, I'm taking both armrests. Look out.
I tore my rotator cuff because of a guy like that.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's right. Remember this, Brogman? His overhead story?
I tore my rotator cuff because I had a big guy next to me, and I had to hold my shoulder like this for 5.5 hours.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my arm. I threw my arm out. Like, I swear to God.
Because you didn't get the armrest because it was too big of a guy?
He was in the middle seat. I gave him the armrest because he was gigantic.
Yeah?
And I had to keep my arm forward like this the whole time when I got... It still hurts till this day.
Wait a minute. Serious? I thought you hurt your arm when you on that flight. No, you helped pull the lady's back.
That's another one.
Re-injury. And you said
that was the re-injury.
Wait a minute. So, how are you tearing your rotator cuff just sitting?
Body positioning. You have re-injury. No idea the way this man sits. He sits with conviction when he sits.
By the way, everybody.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. He says it hurts today.
It hurts till now.
Like, here I am standing up for you. Like, yeah, the overhead. You're like, no, I'm just sitting next to the guy.
I'll bite. How long ago was this flight?
Oh, this is like 4 or 5 years ago. And it still hurts.
Half a decade of pain born out of
just sitting.
Body positioning
body
with
positioning
a larger man in the middle.
He should not have been allowed to row. Sit in the seat. And the woman on the other side wanted to keep, got up to go to the bathroom. We're like, let's throw this guy off the plane. We talked to each other. It was terrible. I'm a big guy. That's why
I know. And you just should maybe sit easier.
It costs.
Sit easier. Yeah, don't
sit
yourself.
So hard, bro. Don't sit so hard next time.
That's so great.
What terrible.
A great way to finish the show. Thank you, George Kittle.
Wow.
George Kittle. Great tweet, thank George. You. Thanks for the content, George. We'll see you Thursday.
Big guy in the middle.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.